dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acting as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, explaining and analyzing critical decisions made around the world. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host. I am thrilled to be able to present a very special edition of the program today, involving a conversation with one of the men I regard as the most distinguished of public servants, one of the most thoughtful members now in the private sector in thinking about public policy matters, and a gifted, articulate speaker when it comes to laying out the challenges that we face in terms of our national security, in terms of our foreign policies, in terms of the values that must guide this country in the future, as has been the case in the past. He is Alan Keyes, former senior government official in several administrations. He was notably a foreign service officer in the State Department, became an ambassador to the UN Economic and Social Council, UNESCO, and an assistant U.S. Secretary of State during the Reagan administration. He subsequently went on to work in a number of different capacities, again, both in the private sector and as a candidate for office, the presidency, and the position once held by Barack Obama in the United States Senate. And it is such a privilege to have you with us, Alan Keyes, here at Secure Freedom Radio, and I am thrilled to be able to say we're going to spend the entire hour today talking with you about some of the, as I say, challenges that we're facing today, arising in part, and let's start with this, from what I think of as the Obama Doctrine, and I've characterized it with 9 words, and I'd like your reaction, emboldening our enemies, undermining our allies, and diminishing our country. And you've given some careful consideration to what we are doing and what we should be doing. Would you agree, disagree, or improve upon that characterization?
Well, I would agree wholeheartedly, unfortunately. And I think that the need to do so is tragic for the country. But we're dealing with, I call it the Obama faction, an individual, but also a whole set of folks coming from a point of view that essentially has always, throughout his lifetime, instruction, been hostile to the United States as they saw it, and who comes into office or did come into his present position with a sense that this was a country that, insofar as it reflected the values that the founders put in the Constitution of the United States, individual rights, limited government, free enterprise, things of this kind, it needs to be torn down, essentially deconstructed, as they would say, and reconstructed in an image that reflects his commitment to a pretty hard-line version of totalitarian socialism. So, where government is pervasively in control.
Yeah, Alan, you're talking about a man that you you once debated, maybe more than once, in the competition for the Senate, and whose background, whose predilections, whose associates you've had a chance to go to school on. Is it fair to characterize him as a post-American, or would you have a different way of sort of conceptualizing and describing what animates Barack Obama?
Well, I think that there's a picture of him famously holding the book, The Post-American World. I always like to remind people, though, that you don't get to the post-American world until after America is somehow transcended. And that's the problem with dialectical thinking. You have the thesis and the antithesis, and when you transcend them, in a certain sense, both are pulverized, right? They're gone. So what we're really dealing with in the present juncture, because he hasn't succeeded, is an anti-American president. He's against America. And I think it's hard for people to grasp this because, I mean, think of it. You're dealing with someone who's occupying the White House, the preeminent defender, supposedly, right? The primary responsibility of that position, in fact, is the defense of the United States of America across a broad front, not just talking militarily, but economically and in other ways, someone who's supposed to be thinking about securing the blessings of liberty and providing for order and the enforcement of law and respect for the Constitution. Well, you have somebody occupying it who has been at school with Marxist-Leninists, who he says in his book were his preferred instructors, who chose associates, who were associated not just with left-wing views, but with the most radical and extremist form. I mean, people like Ayers and these folks were not just the standard run-of-the-mill kind of Fabian socialists and stuff. They were bomb-throwing radicals.
Terrorists.
Essentially.
Put a fine point on it. Right, revolutionaries. Yeah. And Alinsky, Saul Alinsky, lest we forget, apparently was a formative influence on certainly his community organizing efforts. So put all that together. Here's a man who's taken an oath of office, as you say, to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States. And you're saying, I gather, that you feel that what he's actually doing is kind of a wrecking operation, completely at odds with that solemn oath.
Well, I think that's clear. And it's not as if one has to speculate, because he says on the record during his campaign on numerous occasions, it was part of his spiel, that the conception of government that is embodied in the Constitution of the United States, where on the basis of a certain understanding of rights, you have government limited in its exercise of power in order to respect those rights and the idea of justice that embodies those rights come from, he says that that was wrong, and that the concept of government that's needed is where government has the power to do the and provide for the good things that he believes and his ilk believe the government must provide for. So it's a government of essentially unlimited power. In which you are assigning that power based on the need to achieve X, Y, and Z objectives. It's a literal implementation of the old saw about the end justifying the means.
Yeah, and this really, when you think of what the ends are that he's seeking to achieve, it is quite daunting indeed. And we're going to pause for just a moment, and when we come back, I want to apply this insight into the man and his methodology to where we're going to go as a sovereign nation in the remaining time he is in office. Stay tuned for more with Alan Keyes.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home,
or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff, like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
Really? What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Pick you up after school.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
I had a feeling about this. I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined once more by Alan Keyes, a man who I regard as a lodestar on the national character of the United States and its defense. And it is a great privilege to be able to talk with him at length today in this edition of Secure Freedom Radio. Alan, welcome back. We were talking before the break about the president's sort of pedigree as a radical, really. You described in I think, rather direct way his not just post-American proclivities, but his anti-American leanings. I'm reminded of the very illuminating episode where the president, then candidate Obama, interacted with a fellow by the name of Joe, came to be known as Joe the Plumber.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in a somewhat unguarded moment that that he thought redistribution of wealth was, you know, entirely appropriate. And I wondered whether your view of what he's doing on the sort of international stage this wrecking operation, if you will, vis-a-vis the United States, is kind of animated by the same basic thought, namely that redistribution of power, even if it's at the expense of that of the United States or even the sovereignty of the United States, is as desirable an end, as you were saying earlier, to be pursued through whatever means, as is the redistribution of wealth within our domestic polity. What do you think?
I think that's right. In some ways, it seems to me he parallels what actually goes on in Marxism, in which, with all the talk and rhetoric about empowering the proletariat and freeing the proletariat and so forth and so on, what's really going on is the development of an ideology that sees history distributing power, right? And the consolidation of that power in the hands of the vanguard dictator party is the aim and end of all action. So that at the end of the day, you don't free the proletariat, you victimize them under a totalitarian dictatorship that has used the excuse of empowering them in order to gather the reins of power into its hands. And that's what's going on in the country right now and in the world, so that the agenda of economic concern is really a camouflage for the power agenda of a particular faction that means to constitute itself as the ruling dictatorial party.
So that's the domestic agenda. As it relates to this sort of broader international arena, it seems as though a redistribution of power away from the United States, the hegemonic sole superpower in the world and so on, towards, at the very least, some of the would-be rivals for that distinction, notably Communist China, and arguably towards a lot of lesser states that that are simply interested in becoming, in at least in their own regions, more dominant. The Iranians, for example, in the Middle East, the Brazilians in Latin America come to mind. Do you see this as equally a part of his purpose? And what would the implications be, in your estimation, Alan Keyes, of the President of the United States pursuing, with all of the means at his disposal, this kind of diminishing of our national power to the benefit of perhaps unsavory, at the very least, different states than our own?
Well, I think, it obviously implies, in one sense, that as we know it, the United States of America as a power and force in the world must be destroyed. The power must be undone. And why? Because it is an obstacle to the agenda that seeks to achieve at the international level. Remember, when Marxism was implemented through Lenin, people like this, Lenin was very clear that he regarded Russia as a nation to be something superfluous. And that at the end of the day, the objective was, in point of fact, to consolidate a global regime of control along the lines that I was just talking about. And the countries willing to participate in this are like the individuals who participate in that work of the vanguard party. And I think you can see this being stitched together. And the only anomalous factor is that, and I think we can talk about this a little bit, that included amongst those figures are states that appear to have explicitly a religious basis, right?
Yeah.
And that seems to be anomalous. But I think we can talk a little bit about why it only seems to be anomalous. It's not. But the point is that I think that's what you have going on. So you have states, Iran, or China, that are part of what could be regarded as the sort of vanguard set in terms of the international regime, and America has been taken over now by a faction that is dedicated to this vision, and it must be dismantled as an independent power so that it can be made subservient to this collusive agenda.
Yeah.
That at the end of the day regards a country like the United States, focused on liberty and justice as opposed to power, as an obstacle.
You know, Alan Keyes, I want to come back in a moment to this whole question of, you know, the wellspring of this religious movement I think it's best described as Sharia. But for the moment, just to stay with this thought, it seems to me that those who aspire to a new world order in which the United States is no longer preeminent or perhaps no longer even extant is going to be, you know, the common purpose of, on the one hand, those who embrace this Sharia agenda, caliphate, if you will, and those who see the United Nations, for example, as a better, more fair, more responsible arranger of international affairs. They have very different end states in mind, don't they? But they nonetheless have a common enemy in us. And to the extent that they're pursuing our destruction in common purpose, they are working in very much the same direction, it would seem, that President Obama is doing in terms of his efforts to reorder the world for whichever of these reasons.
Oh, I think that's true. It reminds me of Shafiq a little bit of what happened when the Roman Empire was rising. They were busy in the affairs of places like Greece. What had been the power of the kings in the northern part of Greece became an obstacle to the Romans, and they colluded with people within Greece who wanted to free themselves from the power of that king. And America now represents that kind of consolidated power, which is an enemy to all these forces, and they can agree this power must be destroyed. And then they have different agendas for what happens in the aftermath. They'll come to the clinches with one another over that when the time comes. Yeah. Right now, they can agree that we've got to go.
Yeah. I guess that's the way this always works, is that they'll sort out their very different ideas once they've taken care of the immediate impediment to their realization, namely, in this case, us. Alan, we're going to pause for just a moment. Hold that thought, if you will. When we come back, I want to get into this question of Sharia and what it is animating on the part of enemies of this country that seek not only through violent means but through stealthy techniques as well the destruction of a sovereign and powerful United States standing in the way of the realization of their caliphate. When we come back, we will be talking more with Alan Keyes, one of my favorite people, and a man you're going to want to hear on this topic next.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like
lowest prices in town, dealer approved, certified pre-owned,
no obligation consultation,
nor will we brag about our
huge selection, enormous variety,
one-stop shopping,
everything under one roof,
or promise
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
We'll try to convince you that our product will give you
cleaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to feedthepig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle...
ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Find out who Frank is interviewing in advance at facebook.com/securefreedom. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio. Now, more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined once again by Alan Keyes, a man who has distinguished himself in senior positions in the United States government, including at the United Nations, who has run for public office, a man willing to put himself in the arena, as Teddy Roosevelt used to say, and deserves our great admiration for doing so, but also who has contributed marvelously through talk radio programs and columns and through various organizations he's associated with over the years, to our understanding of the true exceptional character of America and the need to protect it. And Alan, before the break, we were talking a little bit about one of the most serious of the threats, I believe, to that exceptional America, to its sovereignty, to its constitution, to its form of government, to, in fact, its continued existence, is what the authorities of Islam, and I make this point assiduously here at Secure Freedom Radio because I don't think we really hear that enough. The authorities of Islam, not simply radicals in caves in Afghanistan or wherever, but the folks who actually define, according to the traditions and the institutions and the interpretations and the holy books and so on of the faith, what its practice is all about. They call this program Sharia. And I just wondered, we are having such a difficult time hearing from our leaders, the President of the United States, his Homeland Security Advisor, John Brennan, the Homeland Security Secretary, Janet Napolitano, the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, and so on. Anything about this phenomenon of Sharia and the jihad that it compels its adherents to engage in. Why is that, in your estimation, and can we possibly prevail against this threat without a better clarity and understanding of it?
Well, first of all, no, we can't. I think we have to have a clear understanding of it and of the agenda that it represents. But if you are trying to use something as a hammer with which to pulverize your objective, then you don't want people to focus on the potency of the instrument. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think basically relates the kind of totalitarian leftist agenda of Obama to his manipulation of the perception of himself and his faction in the Islamic world. Things like bowing to the Saudi monarch and other things that were intended to send a quiet message of respect but almost subservience. We are submitting to a common power. And that sense, you know, Islam, as I recall, means surrender or submission, mm-hmm. Essentially to God. But the concept is, God, Allah, the concept is that when Allah appears, all the subservient stars disappear, like when the sun comes out and you can't see the stars anymore in the heavens, right? Mm-hmm. That sense of the consolidation of power is similar to the understanding of the role of history in the Marxist-Leninist leftist understanding. So I don't think it's a stretch to see an agenda that would pull together that common commitment to the consolidation of power in a single entity, in a single person. And we have seen in the Middle East that people like Saddam Hussein and all who were secularists, the Ba'athist folks were secularists, yeah. And yet they've learned skillfully to manipulate relationship with those whose agenda is Sharia. So because I think of this common element that both, in fact, have a similar understanding of the relationship between power and what you and I would call politics.
Yeah. We're talking with Alan Keyes. And let me just pick up on this question of the sort of insidious so-called civilizational jihad that is practiced in many places, including notably in this country, but elsewhere in the West as well. We see it manifesting itself quite dramatically now in Europe. That is sort of the handmaiden, is I guess one way of thinking of it, to the more violent forms of jihad. And I just wonder whether it has struck you as it has me that the submission, which, as you say, is the literal meaning of Sharia, of Islam, rather, that seems to be being exhibited by our senior leadership. When, for example, John Brennan says, as he did the other day, that jihad is a holy struggle and a legitimate tenet of Islam, that isn't really sort of a tangible sign, Alan Keyes, of the success of this civilizational jihad, of the submission that these guys are exhibiting. And going back to what we talked about at the top of the program, doesn't this really, in all likelihood, knowing what you know of these characters, prompt in them a sense that they're winning and that they can, they're being emboldened, in other words, to redouble their efforts to accomplish their desired end state here in the United States by its destruction?
I think it does. And I think you kind of have to see it, Frank, putting two things together. First, there has been an assault going on in cultural, moral terms in America for decades that came from the left, obviously. and that has been characteristic of the approaches to university and education and other things. Now, what was the aim of this? To break down traditional moral values, to break down structures like the family, to take over universities and educational institutions, to break down the sense of social mores, even a personal identity as it had to do with things like sexuality and so forth, essentially to assault moral infrastructure of the United States and of countries like the United States. Now, once you've done that, once you have essentially corroded all of those things and put them in a state where they are ready to fall at the slightest blow, to basically crumble, right, if they are put under any pressure, then you need pressure. And I think that the promotion of the agenda of Islam and Sharia represents that pressure. You are essentially setting up a situation where you have prepared the United States to be the transcended thesis, and Sharia comes into play its historical role as the antithesis to wipe it out in a moral sense. And I think it's shrewd because it shows an understanding that essentially, though these people focus on materialism, they operate with an agenda that understands the critical importance of moral, spiritual, psychological elements to the maintenance of civilization. And so they are willing to use an instrument like Sharia in order to achieve an objective in the war that can only be achieved through the pulverization of a society's moral infrastructure. And I think they see a cooperation with the Sharia agenda as a way of realizing the transcendence of the moral infrastructure of America, which has been carefully prepared by the corrosive influence of the left over several decades. So it's a sense that you're going to reap the fruits of that corrosion using this instrument in order to get to the next stage. And at that next stage, of course, Sharia would then be confronted with the need to submit to the power of history.
Yeah. Alan, you've laid a lot on the table there, and we're going to pause for a moment and pick up on particularly one of the thoughts that your comments have evoked, which is, where is Barack Obama coming from in all of this? Is it really just the tradition of the left, or is there an attachment to Islam and its Sharia program as well? Is it, worst of all, the combination of the two that make for a particularly toxic stew for America and those who love it? We'll be right back with more of Alan Keyes on the Obama agenda and what it is likely to mean for you.
First line of defense in the war of ideas, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec?
Yeah, sure, come on in.
Yeah, I was wondering if you... Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish this sales report, and then I'll probably, I don't know, let me lie down for a bit. But I'm sure it'll go away.
But the flames are getting bigger. Shouldn't I... Your hair, there's so much fire.
No, I'll be fine. What can I help you with? Oh, dear. Well, at least we know the sprinkler system works.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Bees can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to do...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he should have...
he should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined once more by our friend Alan Keyes to pick up on some very interesting and provocative comments that were just made about the motivations for Barack Obama's desire to redistribute power both domestically and internationally, and to promote the pulverization, I think was the word you used, Alan Keyes, of this country, in the interest of bringing about a very different order. We've been discussing a bit of the Sharia agenda that some have who share this aspiration of the pulverization of America. And I was just musing about whether, in your estimation, knowing Barack Obama as you do, and having watched now closely his presidency to date, whether the impetus for his desire to be anti-American for the moment, post-American in the future perhaps, is animated by not just this sort of leftist tradition and associations, totalitarian, if you wish, but also his own deep involvement at various stages of his life with this culture of Sharia under Islam?
Well, I think there's a combination in him that's not accidental that makes him the ideal instrument if your aim at the end of the day is to harness existing forces in the world in order to achieve an end state that places, consolidates power, places it in the hands of certain forces in the world, and has used available instruments to remove from the equation the most obvious obstacle to the consolidation of such power, which is the one nation on the face of the earth that, standing by itself, could thwart the power agenda of any individual or group of people on earth, and that was the United States. And in that sense, I think his background positions him and his person to both represent the leftist-oriented understanding that can be brought to bear against America from internally within our culture, as has been done over several decades, with a force that can come from without in the form of fundamentalist jihad that then pressures the United States in a way that completes the agenda of removing this obstacle from the path. So I think he does combine that in his person and has been implementing steps that take advantage of that combination.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's not without difficulties, because the one element, by the way, that we haven't talked about, but I think it still has to be considered, because it's not like this is inevitable or hopeless, is that the one aspect of this that is entirely superficial and incredible in his person is his supposed Americanness. And I think that's proving to be the Achilles heel of this whole mess, in that at the end of the day, in order to consolidate power, one had for a while to get away with the charade that this somehow represents an American agenda. Well, it's clear, I think, that the American people, though taken in on account of their racial sensitivities and hopes, have been quickly disabused of the notion that they are dealing with an American character.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. And that will be playing out here in the months to come, needless to say, and notably in connection with the upcoming elections and the possible course correction that represents. Let me just very quickly ask you to address one thought, and that is, what should we make of the possibility of having a man who quite explicitly says his purpose is to bring Sharia to America, building, to my way of thinking, a shrine to Sharia, in immediate proximity to Ground Zero in New York?
Well, I think that that's obviously building a monument to what is regarded as a decisive victory. And this was habitual, as you probably know, during the course of the Islamic conquest, when conquerors would succeed at winning a decisive battle, they would put up on the spot, and you see this in New Delhi and in other places,
Jerusalem. Yeah.
Yes, that was intended to memorialize the victory. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And to the extent that one sees and understands this, I think it's imperative that project be stopped, because not so much. I think part of it's lost on people in America, right, who don't, I think, necessarily realize. So it's been amazing to me that many do, especially many who are there, whose families were aggrieved and so forth. They understand the significance of what's happening. But a signal is being sent to and throughout the infrastructure of the community of jihad, if you can call it that, because memorials are meant to be future-oriented. Yes, they memorialize a past victory, but they are meant to encourage the commitment that is to achieve the overall victory.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. It's really a weapon, psychologically, in the ongoing war.
Yeah, this civilizational jihad. Alan, we're almost out of time. I can't stand it, but we've burned through the better part of an hour. Let me very quickly ask you, in the remaining 2 or 3 minutes we've got, to turn to something that this fellow Imam Faisal Abdul Raoul, the imam at this would-be mosque in Ground Zero, has been associated with, namely the effort to break the blockade in Gaza. And more generally, what is going on with our friends in Israel at the moment and our own country's posture vis-a-vis Israel?
Well, I think it's quite clear that the first sign of his anti-Americanism has been his staunch anti-Israeli posture. He has taken.
This is Barack Obama's. You're talking.
This is Barack Obama, right? Barack Obama's staunch anti-Israeli posture. He's taken the United States from friend and ally to a questionable partner, and now really to somebody who is working quietly in collusion with those who seek to annihilate Israel. Because at bottom, the blockade is about whether you're going to allow a conduit that could then be used to funnel in rockets and other larger weapons of destruction to be used against Israel, possibly eventually armed with Iranian-produced nuclear devices. So when you put it all together, this is not an issue of humanitarian access. That's all a lie, because access is not being interfered with for humanitarian goods. It's a question of whether you can create a conduit of supply for weaponry that will ultimately destroy Israel. And I think that that is the real agenda. But you want to destroy Israel, by the way, I think, as part of the agenda of destroying America. Because Israel was the closest partner. If you point to one country in the world that symbolized the effects of American power and friendship and credibility and reliability, it was the existence of Israel in the midst of a totally hostile sea, sustained by a relationship with the United States. Destroy that, and you've essentially destroyed the credibility of American power throughout the world. And I think that's the ultimate objective.
And it goes without saying, I guess, but let's say it anyway. You reward not only Israel's enemies, but ours. And further, going back to our very first comments, further embolden them to believe that they can, through their action against Israel and their action against freedom more generally, take down the one remaining serious impediment to the achievement of their ulterior objectives, namely the United States of America. Alan Keyes, we're going to have to leave it at that for today. I look forward to having you back on Secure Freedom Radio again at an early opportunity, and thank you so much for taking the time with us today to do this marvelous tour d'horizon of the world and the role of the United States in it, and specifically getting our heads around what it is President Barack Obama is up to. Thank you again for your superb work. Both here and elsewhere. That's it for today. We look forward to talking with you again in the near future, same time, same station, for more of what you need to know to secure your freedom and that of those you love. For all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org, brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.